cliffcentral.com.
Yeah, what a Monday, man. And you won't believe where we were this weekend with the Ramster, but we are here alive and well, and belated welcome to another installment. And my name is Romeo, and I'm with the awesome, ever energetic, the Ramster. Hello, Ramster.
Hey, my Ramster, how are you today?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, I went to the Cape Town Jazz Festival with my sister, and obviously I didn't tell you I was going there.
I knew you were going to be there.
I knew you were going to be there. I ran into you. Like, what's the point?
I knew you were going
to
be there.
The idea was to not be around you. I was trying to get away from you. In the middle of the dark, I just see this white T-shirt
grabbed me.
It was dark, and he had blended in with the darkness.
And I grabbed
him. He grabbed me. I was like thinking, what the hell? Next thing, it's Romy. I'm like, no.
You are not going anywhere without me. Eh?
No, the first thing I said, which hotel are you at? Just so that I need to make sure that he's not sleeping in the same hotel with me. Because if he wanted to call me, stalk me to talk about work, I'd be like, hell, I'm here to enjoy myself. What a time at the Cape Town Jazz Festival. Man. What a beautiful weekend.
What are your highlights? I'll tell you mine.
My highlights? Let's start with one of the most disappointing things.
Yeah.
I think the most disappointing thing about the Cape Town Jazz Festival was the Tandi Swamazwai show.
I didn't make that, yeah.
People bought tickets.
Yeah.
We got the two-day pass.
Mm.
And then only to realize that Tandiswa's show was like a special edition. You needed to buy a separate ticket for that. So the ticket was like an extra 30 rand.
Yeah.
So by the time people were trying to get to Tandiswa's show, they were like, sorry, that's sold out. Where's your ticket? And they're like, okay, we'll buy the tickets. They were sold out on Thursday already.
Oh.
I did not know that.
Oh.
And the two things, but one of the things that I was going to Cape Town Jazz International for, two things that I knew I was not going to miss was Judith and Tandiswa.
Yes.
And I didn't get to see Tandiswa.
Eish.
That was my only reason for going to Cape Town, and I did not see Tandiswa.
That was
the worst. But my highlights.
Judith?
Definitely.
Judith?
No, okay. Everyone will think I'm biased because Judith is my sister. Guys, Judith brings the house down.
Yeah.
It was packed before she even came in. It was packed
so
to capacity.
Overwhelming.
It was overlooming.
Yeah.
And I kept on pushing my way to the front. I'm like, guys, move away.
I was looking at you.
Move away.
I'm
the publicity. I'm the publicity here. And I was, which was a lie, obviously.
Yeah.
But Judith's show was so packed. So energetic, okay? The vibe in that room, and what I like with what Judith does is that she will sing one of the weirdest songs from the first album to the third album to the second album. She'll move around. And how was that Try Me, the Try Me song? And then she put Lucky Dube song in the middle of it.
Listen,
everybody went insane.
Yeah.
And after she got off, okay, the last 4 or 5 minutes of the show, she did that little gospel medley. Walked off stage because that was the final thing.
People were still singing.
For a good 30 minutes later, they were still calling out for Judith to come back.
Yeah.
They're busy preparing for the next artist. Everyone was like, Judith! And they were still singing.
We had church. It was awesome.
What a show.
Yeah.
Loramvula, guys. Can you just pause 1 minute for Loramvula?
Yeah.
Loramvula, very, very underrated. I don't know what the politics are around Loramvula being dropped by Sony Music, but I think for me, that's one of the biggest mistakes.
Yeah.
That girl is on fire. She sings, guys.
She sings from the heart.
Oh no, she sings from the heart. She can't even dance, if you know what I mean. She wasn't trying to do anything hypey. But we actually stood there and listened.
And she's very authentic.
Very, very authentic. Mm. Oh, what a beautiful.
Oh,
and I love the fact that her brother and sister are in the band, you know?
Uh-huh.
Those are like really her siblings in the band. I was like, wow.
Yeah, bring it, keep it in the family.
Yeah. I don't see why not, but I can imagine when they've had a fight, like, I'm going to play 3 wrong notes for you today. I'll show you.
Yeah.
You
anyway,
know?
My highlights.
Yeah.
My highlights has definitely.
You actually wrote them down. Wow.
Yeah, no, I didn't want to mess it up.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, yeah. Like, Tom Mitch from the UK.
Oh, yes.
The men's grooves are awesome, man. And our guest is here. Maybe she must bring Tom Mitch to the country.
You never know. Yeah. She does all those kind of things.
She can
bring Michael Jackson.
This woman
if
is
she
on
wanted
fire,
to.
Man. This woman is on fire. And then, you know what? I had to trade and vote for Jonas Gwangwa. Can you believe me?
Siri, you don't miss Jonas Gwangwa.
You don't
for
miss
anything.
Jonas Gwangwa, man.
For me, he was like. And you know what? From the Jonas Gwangwa band,
yeah.
That boy, Danka.
Yeah.
That boy who was doing the lead vocals.
Yes.
Wow.
Ah.
I don't even know him. No, but obviously, but I love the trumpet. I love the saxophone.
Those guys.
I've never missed the Jonas Gwangwa show.
So legendary.
For me, it was never going to be a competition. I was going to go to Jonas Gwangwa and then go catch what's left of En Vogue. And that's exactly what I did.
Uh-huh.
I never missed Jonas Gwangwa.
I actually missed En Vogue completely.
Yeah.
And I was with my colleague and he actually went to En Vogue. I chilled for Jonas Gwangwa.
Oh,
uncompromisingly.
No.
And also Tshepo Tola.
I missed Tshepo Tola.
I was not gonna miss Tshepo Tola. No, and you know he opened with the song
Oh gosh, man. I can imagine. Already people were in tears.
Oh.
You know what? I think I've watched a couple of Tshepo Tola shows and somewhere in the show that you can walk in and just walk out. You have to cry a little somewhere. He knows how to do it.
And he does it best.
And I didn't miss him because I wanted to miss him. It's because he was on Friday, right?
Friday, yeah.
Yes. And by the time I was still trying to get settled in the hotel and all of that. Yeah, but
I have to say, my friend, I really love your life. You know, so she says to me, oh, by the way, we are chilling at this penthouse. You know, I'm like, yeah, when I grow up, I really want this type of shit.
You know what? Can I tell you something?
This is awesome, man. And by the way, you see, she gets hijacked to this awesome event. It's like, what are you doing? Come now. The flight is
ready.
Yes,
I was hijacked. And then we walk into this beautiful, beautiful penthouse on the 19th floor.
Yeah.
And then there's a party there.
Ah.
Okay.
And I tell you, they didn't sleep.
We didn't sleep. I didn't sleep at all the whole of Cape Town weekend. I didn't sleep at all. I wanted to go see Khopedi. She doesn't even know what happened to me. I just disappeared into thin air.
Oh, by the way, Khopedi moved to Cape Town.
Yes, she's in Cape Town. I was like, yeah, we're going to come see you guys there. No. Like 12 o'clock midday. I was like thinking, I was saying to my sister, what time is it?
Yeah.
I couldn't even remember the time. Mm. What a blast we had. What a blast. I mean, Cape Town was beautiful.
Yeah.
But I think there mustn't restrict. I know we have to keep to time and this and this and that. There are a couple of logistics that they could have worked on, you know. Mm. And I think the Kippies, Jonas Gwangwa, his sound was a bit compromised. It was.
Yeah.
I mean, most of his solos, we couldn't hear them, you know. And I was standing right in front, you know.
Yes.
And But other than that, you know, I mean, I love Bob Mabena. Bob Mabena can present an apple and you would applaud, you know. You'd be like, yeah, give it up for the apple. Give it up for the Morobail.
Yeah.
Because Bob Mabena knows how I love Bob.
Yeah.
And I had to cheat on him this morning. I was like, listen, I'm going to check Fresh.
Yeah.
And I kept on giving him the report. I'm like, guys, you are in trouble. Fresh is going to bring Metro
FM
back.
Is he bringing Fresh vibes?
No, listen. Mm. Today's Metro FM show was on, it was lit like explosion.
Are they still doing it at 5 a.m.?
Yeah. 5 to 8, yeah.
5 to 8, okay.
Yo, Fresh is on fire, guys.
Okay.
If he carries on like this,
yeah,
that 3.9 million listeners for Metro is going to jump straight to 6 million. Mm. They're going to go back to Metro is back, I can safely say so.
On a somber note, man, the stalwart Ahmed Kathrada passed away and he was buried last week.
Yeah.
And obviously, condolences to the family, the friends and, the comrades. And, obviously a very interesting time in our political landscape as well.
It is. It is, absolutely. It is, absolutely. Oh, yeah, by the way, speaking of that, I was wearing my ANC camo top and my ANC jacket.
And you were at the funeral, by the way.
Yes, I went.
You went to the funeral.
Yeah.
And you were with Juju.
Yes, I was. But you know what? You know, and every time when I talk about Julius, people forget that I've
grew up together.
We grew up together.
You went to the
Julius
same school.
Is my friend. We went to the same church.
Yeah.
Oh, Julius church, is my friend.
Mm.
Before there's the ANC, before there's EFF, before there's anything, before there's Joburg.
I see you call him Silo.
Give me just Silo. That's his name, you know?
Yeah.
And then someone was like, yeah, how can you stand with Julius wearing an ANC Duke? I'm like, no, forget the Duke.
Yeah.
Ask me, why am I standing with Silo in the first place? and we were, while they were taking that picture, we're busy skinnering about my mother. It's like, hey, when I'm M-Train, where's M-Train? I'm like, hey, she's there, you know?
Man.
It's always good to see him. You know what? Julius, if leave the politics aside, that man is a charmer of note.
Yeah. He was born for this.
He was born for that. I remember they used to kick him out of Sunday school. Malema, out! Malema, aye, aye. Teachers at Sunday school didn't like him.
Mm.
And obviously, I mean, he's got a very, very strict grandmother. That woman built that man.
So, yeah, we've got a jam-packed show today. And, of course, if you want to interact with us, you can find us on our WhatsApp, 079-748-2090. That's 079-748-2090. And we have to get to our guest, man.
Yes, we have to.
Our guest of honor.
We have to.
You know how difficult it is to get this woman? She is so busy. You know, the last time I checked, she was in Austria.
Maybe for you, Maromza. Some of us have Mel on speed dial.
Sorry, Romza.
So, we would like to officially welcome Melanie Gia. Huh? I love the second name, Gia. I call it
Gia.
It's
so sexy. You know,
it's like sexy Gia. Gia Ramji. And for me, she epitomizes everything communications par excellence.
Let me tell you, Romza, you're gonna take that jacket off because you're not doing this intro right. You do not do Mel like that.
Okay, let's go.
Okay, can I just tell, before we even go anywhere, when I moved to Joburg from Pretoria and I was staying in Hyde Park.
There we go with your child memory of remembering everything. Yeah. Tell me, what happened in 1972 on the 9th of
leave
March?
Leave me alone.
Okay, you go.
And then we still had what we called Moloko.
Right.
In Rosebank.
Oh my God, she's pulling my age out.
I'm pulling it out, girl. I'm pulling it out.
All right.
Let me tell you, if you did not know Mel then, you were not a trendsetter.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you were nothing.
Yes.
You were nothing. You know when everyone is standing in a queue and they want to pay the 150? And back in, 150 was like a good amount of money.
It was a lot of
to
money.
Get into a club.
Yeah.
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 And then everyone would be standing in a queue. Rami will come in her mini dress and her stilettos. And then Mel will go, stop. Let them through. Those ones, yeah.
Yeah.
How many are you? I'm like, I'm with my four friends. Let them through. Let me tell you, I was like the best friend of the day. My friends would leave Soshanguve, Pretoria, Centurion, and all of that to come to Moloko.
Yeah.
Because this lady right here had it down. I've never seen a more successful club like Moloko back in the day.
But you know what made it work?
Yeah.
What made it work is the personalized relationship she had with everyone. You need to understand, it's a lot of us.
Yeah.
But she knew all of us. She noticed all of us. And you know, usually as someone who organizes massive VIP events, she is actually there to say, are you okay?
Yeah.
You know, so she is someone who is a bay of for the people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the
exactly.
We're going to do this right. Give me that drum roll, Romeo. We're not going to rob Mel like that.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, in studio today, we've got the socialite, the media guru, the underwear model.
The founder.
Yay! Did you hear that?
I heard
the underwear model.
Yeah. And recently, the ramp queen.
The ramp queen.
The ramp queen.
The one to go to. The one you want to know. The one you beg for a retweet from.
The one you don't only call when an event is about to go down.
Yeah, because she got you down. She knows you. She'll be like, oh, you're calling me today because I know you want tickets for something. She got all her radars are up. She got the people down.
Yeah.
She's got the hoarder.
Yeah.
She's got the gay down.
You know what freaks
me
out?
She's got the money down.
You know what freaks me out?
She's got the broke nigga down.
Let me tell you, what freaks me out is you can call, she knows everybody's voices.
Exactly.
Freaks me out.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've got Mel in the house.
Oh, yeah,
the
baby.
The high press herself.
Yes.
The honorable, the royal high press in studio.
Warner.
Goodness.
Globetrotter of
and
notes.
And she's the high press with clothes.
Cosmopolite.
With clothes. She got clothes on. Hey, Mel.
Hey, Mel, welcome.
By far the best intro ever, guys. Thank you.
Welcome to Be Light.
Thank you.
Wow.
Wow.
Actually, it's an honor for you to have you to have you on the show.
It's an honor to be here.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Thanks for getting me out of bed. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I know. I know that's like a very friendly complaint. Like, couldn't you have your show at 4 p.m.?
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll leave it there. Mel, you do publicity. You do PR. You do anything and everything that you've touched so far. That it is seriously hyped.
Mm.
It is talk about being broadcasted everywhere, whether it's social media, it's radio, it's billboards and all of that. You know so many artists, you've come across so many people that some of us, we still have to see them live, and they come and they chill with you in your lounge.
I'm
and
so tired.
And you're like, and I'm like thinking, how do you do that? I mean, some of the products that you've worked with, okay, one of the best ones, I remember the Miller. That Miller concert.
MGT.
Yes,
MGT.
Yo, that was big.
And then
MTV.
You have all my files.
Yeah. And the MTV bass, remember? And the BET.
Yes.
Like you go all out. And not only that, but people, in case you don't know, you know, Mel owns Two Tone.
Yeah.
It's Two Tone Communications.
She's the founder of Two Tone.
Own company.
Yes.
So, maybe she'll get us to Two-Tone, even though we're not like the biggest of brands, but I'm sure we can sort something out, Maromza.
Yes.
They are just like kind of like,
yeah.
But if you get stuck, you need a dress quickly and a ride quickly so that you can look like the celeb that you're supposed to look like, but then your bank does not agree. Hmm. You call Melanie. You say, dude, I got a place. I got somewhere to go. I got somewhere to go. Yeah, she's like the Olivia Pope of the red carpet.
Oh, my God.
So when you get stuck, we call Melanie.
Yeah.
Right, now, Melanie?
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah. So, Mel, tell us. Before we start talking about Musa, let's talk about other things.
He always gets the shy.
I know, he gets the shy all the time.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Where would you like to start?
Oh, my goodness. The beginning is way too far.
Yeah, no.
It's like 200 years ago.
300 years.
I walked the ramp last week at Fashion Week.
Your first time.
And you pulled it off.
Who can say I walked at Fashion Week in a size 40, but I did it.
Oh,
I didn't fall. I had stilettos that were like 25 inches high.
Yeah.
25.
Or like 35, sorry.
Ooh.
I didn't fall.
Yeah.
I did swing my arms a bit too much, but yeah, I did it.
Yeah.
It was an honor.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's given me a new confidence.
You killed it, eh? I saw it. You killed. I was like, wow, there she goes.
Yeah.
I've got two questions for you. And question number one, what is the difference between marketing, advertising, and PR?
Okay.
Right? Because I think there's a lot of misconception, or people are getting it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I suppose also you have to turn down a lot of requests because
sure. People don't get it right.
They don't get it right. And number two.
Or maybe they just can't afford her.
She's premium now.
No, guys, okay. It's not even that. So marketing, PR is part of marketing, but it's paid for.
Right.
PR, you pay a publicist, they get you in the newspapers. That's all you pay for. You just pay for the publicist.
Mm.
They get you in the newspaper. They hype you up. Advertising is pure paid for above the line.
Mm-hmm.
So you pay for a billboard. You pay for an ad. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Marketing encompasses all of them.
Right.
Marketing is the bigger picture. Mm. So it includes PR, advertising, everything that you market the brand.
Mm-hmm.
So PR is just one of the elements.
So would you say then that, for example, marketing or advertising is just put your brand out there, but obviously you can kind of like not justify, the tallies, the numbers. But then with PR, I'm actually able to say to you, I'm going to take you here, 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 and here.
I think PR can be a bit more creative, where you can work with lots of other things. Advertising is black and white. It is what it is. There are creative ways of doing it.
Mm.
But PR, you can be so much more creative.
Mm.
And get so much more achieved.
And my last question before I hand you over to the Ramster is, being at your level now, you find that how do you differentiate between good people and parasites? And using the word parasite loosely, essentially people who only know you when they want certain favors and privileges. How do you make friends, and how do you know this is a good friend?
I think 20 years into this, you can't really tell. It's just that feeling you get, your intuitiveness that you have.
Your gut speaks.
I think your gut speaks to you, but you know what? I take it as it comes. We all use each other for something in this world.
Mm.
Some worse than others.
Mm.
I take it for what it is. I need you. You need me. Let's find a middle ground. So
use me, baby. Use me,
baby. You're my friend. You're not even on that. But after being 20 years in this, you can kind of tell. But I still have my mishaps, and I do trust everybody. Oof. And I guess that's just me.
Mm.
Okay, I want to go back, as I usually do. I'm the history here.
Okay.
I'm the history. I want people
to
know.
Don't go too far back. I'm only 25.
Okay. You know what? Can I tell you what? Because with Belighted, obviously the Belighted moments, you want people to kind of, they're listening to us. I mean, obviously someone has already said, they've had their little aha moment. But then another thing is like, what I want to ask you, because people know you as Mel, the socialite and all of that, but then they don't know how or where it all began. But I'm not going to say give me the history. For instance, what are the weirdest jobs you had to do? Maybe you've been a cashier at ShopRite and we just don't know, you know? So what were the weirdest jobs that you had to do? What are some of the stumbling blocks you had to come across for you to get to be this person that you are?
I think very interestingly, my first very, very, very first job was at Spar. I used to pack groceries.
You're not serious. I was joking.
Yes,
it was a joke.
It was the grocery store near my house. That was when I was, I think, 14, which was illegal at the time. But hey, it was just groceries.
Mm.
Then I got a promotion to the bakery.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that for a while. Then I worked at Truett's doing gift wrapping. I worked at Milky Lane for one day because the tips were so low. So yeah, I just never came back. I'm like, this is not for me because it was just based on tips.
Yeah.
I used to give out flyers at a robot. So I always take flyers at a robot because I know how hard that is when people just say tack and close their window and they don't have time for you.
Yeah, because you kind of stand there for quite some time, for the whole day.
And you lose a lot of weight walking up and down.
And then
I think I should do it again.
Yeah, because but because you get a certain amount of flyers and then whoever is giving flyers to you, who's going to pay you at the end of the day, they say, we need all these 5,000 flyers handed out by today. And with people closing their windows.
You give five per passenger.
Yeah.
It's one thing per flyer.
Yeah. And then these days, I know that it's not just one person at the robot giving out flyers. It's like 20.
Yeah.
And now I'm like thinking, I don't want 20 flyers, you know. So what did you have to do to be the one to stand up so that someone
there for those hours and you were cute. And I mean, it's very common now. But back then, I'm talking a few years ago, over 20, 25 years ago, when I used to do that and I used to hand out flyers at the robot, it was difficult. But it was me and two other friends, and our company approached brands to say, can we do this for you? So it wasn't people approaching us.
We were
trying to hustle from 15 years old.
So you started from the bottom, now you're here.
Fast forward to today.
Done with the history, because fast forward to today, then you go back and all of that. Because now you're saying, you started working at 14. Okay. That takes me back to the family element.
Yes.
Okay. To the family element. How many are you siblings? Because sometimes I know we get driven by siblings or get driven by parents. It depends. You know, that kind of a background, because sometimes you can see.
Yeah. I'm the eldest of four.
Yeah.
Right.
Times were tough. I come from a middle class family. We didn't have a lot of money to go around.
Yeah.
They were very strict on me. My family is very religious.
Yeah.
Papa Ramji.
they're super religious.
Yeah.
I always wanted to do alternative stuff like music and clubbing and concerts. And I was never a bad kid. I just was curious about that life.
Yeah.
I'm still not a bad adult.
you say. Okay.
But I'm not the super religious type like my family. So it was always a contentious issue in our household. But I also wanted to venture out and do things and take a taxi to town.
Yeah.
And I had very nurturing parents who would be like, no, it's not safe. And I'd do it anyway. Hmm. And that's how I found the world.
And that's how you found the world. Okay,
can I have a belated moment?
No. We don't care about your belated moments.
We white guys. I can come back tomorrow.
Yeah, so here on Belated, we kind of like want your story to kind of like spark a chord. Or just a light bulb moment for someone who might be listening. And part of that is sometimes people look at, you know, those kind of small jobs, you know, you talk about handing posters and all that. Looking back, how would you say that has shaped and how has some of those small jobs actually contributed to what you do now?
You know what? I think all of those little elements built me. It taught me hard work. Mm. It taught me perseverance. I mean, I didn't just wake up one day and I was a successful publicist. It took me a long time. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful I was born in the generation that I was born in, where you had to work pretty much your ass off to get to where you want to be 20 years down the line.
Yeah.
So all those elements taught me hard work, responsibility, all those good things that you needed to make you a successful businesswoman in the future.
Yeah.
So
that's true, because I honestly think right now with the social media and the Instagram and everything that is happening right now, like, you know, you eat cereal and then 2 seconds later we all know what you had for breakfast, you know. But now what has in my own opinion, what I think has diluted the power of PR is when someone is sitting in their lounge and they think they can do PR because they can tweet for someone else.
Sure.
And we've seen a whole lot of celebrities come down, like hitting the floor, like business endorsements being taken away from them, this and that being taken and all of that sponsorship being pulled because of some of the irresponsible tweets that went through because of some PR company who obviously didn't do their homework. They just think, oh, I know I'm bored. Since while I'm waiting for my next job on Generations, I can be a PR manager. And I think that's where we need to like draw the line. But then how, because you're also in the mix of things. You're also, you're always tweeting, you're always on social media and all of that. Now, how do we separate the good crop from the chaff? Like, how do we like pull it apart. Sure. You know?
I think from my side, we're still learning. Social media is very young in South Africa. Not that young, but young in terms of global. Mm. So I think for me personally, I'm very active on social media, like you said. But I always think about, is it something I would say to my mom? Is it something I would say to a client? If not, is it something I would say to my pastor? If not, don't put it up.
Mm. Exactly.
You know, if you're going to talk about very sensitive issues, politics, sex, those sort of, can it be something you'd say to your mom or your pastor or your client? Yeah. Or your boss, then don't put it up.
I know,
because it can't go away.
I tweet what I want.
Yeah.
I tweet what I want.
But you know this. But in a good way.
But in a good way. But can I tell you? But what people don't know is that by the time I put up that tweet, I've thought about it 3 times.
Yeah.
And I never make. So that's why I never have that's deleted good. Tweets and like having to go back and say, no, that's not what I meant, or whatever the case might be. Mm. Now, I tweet for myself, authentically so. And then someone else might think that they want to get someone else to tweet for them. Now, if you're to give any personalities, media personalities, celebrities, politicians, any form of advice, because I remember Barack used to do that.
Yes.
There's a Twitter handle for POTUS, and then there's Barack Obama Twitter handle.
Yes.
So now, for someone like me, I know, you know what the problem is? We all want to feel important.
Sure,
so I feel like, I think I've been on TV for more than 20 years, 23 years and still counting. So I deserve someone to be tweeting for me.
Yeah.
But half of the time, it's not necessarily necessary.
Yes. Mm.
And someone who has been on Twitter for six months, five seconds. Yeah, who blew up. Like, for instance, I think Bonang is huge. She's humongous. She's like, she's gunning for 2 million followers.
And she still tweets herself.
Mm. So then why do you, with 700 followers, you want PR company to tweet for you? Who are you talking to? So what's your advice there? How do we tell the difference? And can you like help us so that we can keep our panties on?
I'm always about tweeting for yourself. If Bonang can do it, why can't you? Make time. And if you don't have the time, find the time on a Sunday to schedule your tweets.
Uh-huh.
If you're getting paid to tweet, schedule your tweets in. Yeah. For me, I'm always wary about someone doing it for me because nobody's me.
Mm.
I can brief you about who I am, but you're not me.
But you can also
make a mistake. Mm. I do tweet for lots of brands, and I'm very careful when I tweet which account I'm tweeting from, because that's another thing that can get you in trouble.
Yeah.
Where you're putting your personal opinion, which is probably like super negative or controversial,
and you're using like a BMW
brand. BMW.
Yeah. What is the importance of actually having a proper social media strategy? Whether would you recommend it for an individual or for a company?
Because anybody, I think we live in the digital age, so everyone needs a social media account. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. If you're on those three, those are the basics. At least get on it. Mm. As a business, even more beneficial.
Yeah.
I've got a personal page. I've got a fashion page. I've got a company page. And my son has a page.
Yes. I know what you mean.
So it's we live in the digital age. You can't pretend and live in the darkness. One of my brothers, my brother after me, doesn't have social media. He doesn't live in that world.
Mm.
And he lives an amazing life, but he's so in the dark with certain things. And that's the life he chooses. But he does, when the family group talks on WhatsApp about certain things, he's in the dark. Mm-hmm. He's like, what?
What are we talking about?
And you find out the news as it happens on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram. And that's also another benefit.
Tell me about family. Who's belated moment now? We're talking about family now.
Okay, talk about family.
Romeo, they'll catch the belated moment.
Relax.
Wait, it's coming.
Let's talk, because now, like, you've got a family group.
Sure.
I do as well. Our families do. We know we do that.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about the tightness in your family. I know that everyone is like super religious, blah, blah, blah. And you are the one who is brushing. You're the one who wears the Prada shoes and all of that.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's talk about the importance of family in your life, Mwena Mel, because we literally, now I'm not talking as your friend. I'm talking about someone who watched you from social media. We literally saw Musa from inception.
Oh my God.
Okay. Like,
Since he
was conceived.
Yes.
We walked with Musa each and every month.
Oh
and when
gosh,
he landed.
Like...
And I remember how you were careful when you had to start putting up his pictures. We started with a paw. We had a toe. Eventually a whole foot.
Oh, wow.
Then we had a little arm. We had the sharp, sharp sign. All of a sudden, Musa was like 6 weeks old and he could give us a sharp, sharp sign, you know. And then we had all these nice, beautiful pictures of him, which I know that he's got on his own account as well.
Yes.
You know, but now, what does family mean to you, especially?
Family is the most important thing to me.
Yeah.
The sensitive issue with Musa is that I'm I've got a bit of Indian background, so I'm half Indian, and then his dad is Xhosa, so we were very sensitive about the first 4 months of pictures or six months. Or similar to when I was pregnant, we didn't talk about it till I was 6 months.
Yeah.
Just old school tradition. But family is most important to me. I have two families. I have my biological family and I have the industry family, which I've grown up with so many people who I consider brothers and sisters and cousins.
Yeah, and then they're all kind of intertwined.
They are real people that I still keep from when I was in high school. But my family, very important. I've got I'm separated from Musa's dad.
Yeah.
So I had to raise him pretty much like as a single mom, and I'm not a single parent because he does have a dad. But my family was very involved. My mom and my dad and my siblings were just as much his mom and dad's as I was.
Yeah.
And that is so important for me.
I think my next question is very unfair. But then with your three siblings, who's mm-hmm. the loudest, who's the funniest?
They're not. My brother's a DJ.
Yeah.
And he plays very alternative music. Yes. He's just come into it now. Don Trilby, shout out.
I actually thought you would say him, you know?
He's not loud at all. Like, he's the boy who won Valedictorian. What is the male version of it? Valedictorian at school.
Oh, yes.
Like, the best student. The most helpful. He'll negotiate. You know, you have a problem in school, you go talk to him. And he'll stop the drama or the beef between you and your friend. He was that guy. So they're not loud. Uh-huh. At all. I just got all the craziness in this package.
You took everything, right?
I took everything.
Yeah.
Like, can I say something?
Yeah.
Can I say something?
Please.
Of course, if you just joined the show, we are talking to Melanie Ramji, who is the founder of Two Tone Communications, which was established in 2010, among other things, and he's worked in the industry. If you don't know Mel, you don't know the industry. That's my view. And of course, if you do want to chat to us, our WhatsApp number is 0797482090. Do check if we have any messages there. And while you hear me a bit silent in the background, Ngubeko is here. He is busy trying to set up, and he's going to serenade us with some beautiful music. He's got his latest album called Heaven's Ways, and I am proud to say I've got it on iTunes, and that's why I'm handing over the CD to you.
Who said I didn't have
I didn't say you don't.
Okay, I'm
saying
checking.
I proudly said I got the music on iTunes, and the music, that's where it's available. And it was actually released, I think, on the 24th of March. Make sure that you get yourself digital copies. And then also the album is available in all your music retailers and e-tailers.
You know what I wanted to? Okay, Ngobeko, he just walked in, you know. I mean, hello. Bring a whole piano. I don't know. How many keys are there? Is that a 72 key? Is it 88? So that's long. He brought an 88 keyboard into the studio. And obviously, we're going to have a bit of music.
Yeah.
Mel is going to sing for us one more place.
Oh, my God. No one will tune into your show ever again.
All right. So you've got to give us a chance to then make sure we get the sound. Yeah. And then after that,
we'll do that.
Rebecca will play a song before we talk to him.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what he's going to do.
Right.
But Mel, I wanted you to link with Ngobeko. I don't know if Ngobeko has his own PR team, or do you toot for yourself? You cannot. He's nodding.
He does. Yes.
I'm just checking because I'm asking, because the past 2 weeks because there was a pre-order thing first.
Yeah.
You think Romeo thought I didn't know?
No, I know you know.
A pre-order. Okay. He released the pre-order like, okay, guys, the album is coming out, and then we started seeing all these funky pictures of him with his grey shoes. I was like, somebody clearly has a stylist these days.
And he's kind of cute,
you know. And he's kind of cute, and you know what I mean. And then next thing, but then he trended that weekend. Oh. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah.
He was actually trending right there
before even the release.
On iTunes as well. Twitter, we're seeing the Kathrada
memorial.
We're seeing Joe Mafela.
Then
you go down, there's Ngubeko. I'm like, what did this guy do? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that was just him tweeting. He got a whole lot of retweets. And I mean, yes, you know, Ntokozo is a force. That woman will tweet you out of your
Okay, we can talk.
But anyway,
we should talk.
Yeah. You should talk. But
you see, a belated moment. This show is about connecting awesome people together.
I love that.
You know, we see an opportunity and then we create the network.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what we do.
All right. So what's happening?
We've got Ngubeko, guys.
Okay, we're going to allow Ngubeko to just give us Sound test?
Awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Let's hear. Oh, well, it's playing in my ears. I don't know if everyone else can hear it.
A little bit, yeah.
You want to hear yourself? Yeah. Why? You trust those kismos? Hey? I mean, what are you saying? You don't know minus seven flat five? No. Just press
all
them.
Right. While we are testing, Ngubeko owns a record label.
Called
Coco Records.
Yeah.
And it's actually, if you know Ngubeko's background, also, you know, he's played quite a lot. You know, he's a graduate from DUT.
Nice.
And then also, he actually has music directed a lot of Joyous Celebration music. So if you know the piano work on Joyous, especially the first editions, you know that Ngubeko was there. And what I like about him and his wife as well is the fact that they don't like to hog the spotlight. You know, the power and the importance of knowing the time to leave the spotlight for other people. Which is very, very important. Anyway, can we get a sound? Can we get the test?
I'll reserve my
questions
when it comes.
It's working.
Yeah.
It's working. It's perfect.
All right. So can we allow
Ngubeko? Sing?
I have to sing.
You have to sing. Yeah. Take Romeo's mic. He doesn't need it.
Okay. Ooh. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Is that loud enough? 1, 2. Yes.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, that's great.
All right, there you go.
Should I just go?
Yeah, go.
Just
I hear you.
This is one of the songs. This is the first song on the album. It's called Higher Than Mine.
Yeah.
Your ways are higher than mine. Your ways are higher than mine. Your ways are higher than mine. Higher than mine. Your thoughts are deeper than mine. Your thoughts are deeper than mine. Your thoughts are deeper than mine. They are deeper than mine. Restore. Transform my mind, purge me, Lord. Your ways are higher than mine. Your ways are higher than mine. Your ways are higher than mine. They are higher than mine. Your thoughts are deeper than mine.
Okay, Maromza.
Yes.
This is what we're going to do. I'm going to need you to go that way and come to this mic.
Yeah, I think you can actually.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
So this mic is fine. So I will move.
Come sit next to me, Maromza, yes, so that we can.
For the first time on the show, I'm sitting next to the Ramster.
Yeah, well, just for today, just for the next 5 minutes. Careful in case I don't kick you out.
There we go.
Yeah.
Moving.
So, you just sit there. We can hear you. Don't panic. You don't move away from the piano in case we need a commercial break live. You know what I mean?
Yes, okay.
Ngubeko, Maromza was just telling the listeners now, like, you know, Joyous Celebration, that's where we actually saw you in inverted commas for the first time.
Yes.
I remember... Many, many years ago.
Yeah, thank you, Edna. Yeah, you are in trouble. She'll probably tell you when you first wore your diaper. And the color of it.
Let's hear it.
And listen, this was before you and Togo's actually started going out.
Okay.
Did you say like yo?
Yeah.
But I remember we were sitting with the girls. I don't remember what were we working on.
The girls.
Yeah, some girls. Yeah, some of the girls.
Okay.
And we're actually talking about you. Somebody was like, yeah, I don't remember which Joyous Celebration we were talking about.
and they were still recording. I think it was the first time that we were going to be on. And they're like, there's this guy, ne? Called Nubeko. He's like tall, thin, 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 skinny, skinny, skinny. No, you're skinny. I mean, you're like literally like a paper. Like you were like, you're just floating onto the stage.
Is it better now?
You're much better. You're much better. Ntokozo has done such a good job.
Yeah.
And I remember I came to the recording, to one of the live performances there.
Which year was that, Rami?
It was a long time ago. I think it was 2002. Yeah. And I think it was also just before SK joined. Me and SK would sit and we'll discuss you. And then he will come and show you. He plays this song like this. And then he inverts this here. And then just when you're thinking the right hand has taken over, some of the chords he will play with his left hand. I was like, he's got like four. You can cross your arms literally on the piano if you wanted.
Yeah.
And we were talking about, they were like, you must look out for this guy. You must look out for this guy. Then I came to the show. I was like, wow. Now it makes sense. He played this guy, ne? And then there was this other time he sang this song. He was hitting some notes. I can't say it in music form, you know, but he was hitting some modes there with his voice.
I've got a question for Nubeko.
Yeah?
So, I think, I don't know whether it's a good thing or not, but your piano stands out more than you. Was it deliberate? The thing is, you play the piano in such a way that people look forward to the improvisation, you know?
Yeah.
You see
yeah.
how, you know, you bring in people and say, so-and-so play, you know, so-and-so, but then you play.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's something that one would have actually realized. You actually have turned a piano into a celebrity.
Okay.
Yeah. And Romeo is actually telling the truth, because when we were talking about you the first time, I was looking forward to hearing a piano player.
Yes.
And then you also sang on the day. I was like, so he sings too. But now you see, but what I like, another thing maybe people make the mistake about is that there are people who've got good voices, amazing voices, but they've got limited range in how to play around with the notes.
Right.
And then you'll find someone who's not necessarily a so-called Mariah Carey in terms of voice or Luther Vandross. But they can use the voice in such you're like, did you just sing that note? You're like, he went
And you need to understand, looking at Nubeko, for example, I mean, he's sitting down and playing, but how are you able to hit the high note? You know, that amount of discipline must be hectic.
And then you still remember that your little pinky must not forget don't forget that other note.
Yes.
You know, but it's been such a pleasure watching your journey and Tokozo's as well, because you know, I remember when Tokozo was saying, I found her place. She couldn't take that song
in
off
the shadow of your wings.
In the shadow of your wings.
Yeah.
We used to call her in the shadow.
Some still call her in the shadow even today. She has to sing that song even if she doesn't want to.
Yeah.
She can sing anything and everything in the world until she hits in the shadow. We are not in heaven.
I think that song was written by Uba Pastam Tunes and Number.
And she killed that song, eh?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, we're like thinking, this vocalist. And then we're thinking, this pianist. Next thing they're going out, we're like, How is your household? How do we...
It's a normal household.
Never.
Like yours.
Never.
I tell you, there's not much singing in the house. Okay, now since we have little girls,
I was saying because I know your girls sing.
You'll probably hear them sing, but me and Dozo, the only time you'll see us, you'll hear us doing something together, it will be because it's a preparation.
No, because for me, I can sing.
Are you going to go DJ Khaled on us and have one of your daughters produce the music as well?
No, can I tell you?
That was great.
Yeah. Sometimes I would think your household would be something like, you know, you walk in and then you go like, Baba, what do you feel like eating this evening? And then you say, I'm going to have chicken. And then there's a groove all of a sudden happening there. And then the kids come and say, oh, daddy, you're back. And you're like, I'm back, babies. They're like, It's so good to have you back.
Because I've got that's a message for thinking. You.
A message for who?
For you.
For me. Yes. Okay. Romeo has a message.
I'm going to divert a little bit. I've got a message from a guy called Togazan. He's a friend of mine.
Okay.
And Togazan is kind of like, you know, pulling rank and saying, I know the DJ type of a situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he sent a message directly to me. He didn't use the WhatsApp number. 079 Togazani 748-2090.
Togazani, the pianist.
No, man.
Which one?
Man, relax.
You too.
Which Togazani? There's this
Calm
Togazani
down.
That sings, guys. That
Calm
boy can
down.
Sing.
Calm down.
Yeah.
So Togazani Maluka.
Uh-huh.
He says, I'm listening and loving your show. Mm-hmm. Mel has earned her stripes. Much respect to her.
Uh-huh.
Please say hi to Remstar.
Yes.
She is my crush, by
crush away, Cindy, crush away. Togazani, I'm crushed.
Anyway, back to
Mubek. Like silk.
Yeah, back to Mubek.
Like
he
silk.
Didn't say anything about me, so yeah, back to Mubek.
Okay.
Immediately.
Mubek.
So, Mubek, this is your third album.
This is my third album.
And the album is called Heaven's Ways.
Yes, sir.
And you have about 19 tracks.
Yes, sir.
So you want to close down the industry, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
okay.
I mean, you know what? And I love the production.
Yeah.
I can see so much work has gone into your album, the quality, man, everything, the production.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, you can see that this is like, we're not here to play.
No,
this is not a joke,
no.
You know?
And also what I like is the fact that you actually took yourself out of your comfort zone. Because, you know, the high notes. Whoa.
Yeah.
So you've been listening to the album.
Yes.
Hey, Baba, I've listened. Baba, you know, I'm very critical.
And
like
you know
that.
What? And you know what? Another thing about this album is that if... Take the gospel element out of it.
Yeah.
Take the lyrics out.
Yes.
You can play it anywhere and everywhere in the world. It is so...
Yeah.
I was like, you could have... Like, one here you can hear a bit of Bobby McFerrin. Then next thing here, he pulls a little bit of Will Downing. And then next thing, there he goes up there. And you're like thinking, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So clearly you were like... You really, really stretched yourself. And I think this is going to be one of the most successful albums, like, in the longest time. Like,
thank
by
you.
Far. By far, man. And I just like how we trained it. But now I'm going to ask you silly questions because I'm silly like that.
Mubeko,
we've known you to be playing gospel. We've collaborated with a whole lot of gospel musicians.
Mm-hmm.
But I needed to know, have you done any session music with some like secular music? I know you... No, I'm just like indulge the listener.
Okay.
Because I know it. Yeah. So tell us about the secular side of things.
That's where most of it's okay. Started gospel, but through working with Joy Celebration, I got to know a few other people who are not necessarily doing gospel.
Yeah.
So I've worked with Mafikizolo for almost 5 years.
I know. You know why I wanted that fact out? Because nobody has ever said it.
Yeah.
Why is nobody saying you have worked with Mafikizolo?
Remster, also just to add on that, people must see you as an artist, not a gospel artist.
Aha,
yes, definitely.
That's what I want.
Yes.
You know, because so, no one says that you've worked with Mafikizolo. And in that 5 years,
in those five years,
do you know how big Mafikizolo, I mean, they were big then, but then they grew because their music, all of a sudden, it had proper
live
instruments, elements included in their albums.
Yes.
And but then I don't see why nobody's just like, oh, by the way, isn't Mweko, like, who is just like, fooling around with a few notes and then the song came out, you know?
Yeah.
So back to the album, Heaven's Ways, and it's available on iTunes, it's available in all the music stores.
Yes.
What are some of the best collaborations you've worked with? And I know you're very picky.
Wow.
Let me tell you, one day we were attending Loiso's CD launch.
Yeah, listen,
and I say to him, hey, you know, I was thinking of doing an album. He says, Baba, can you see?
Who said that?
You said that to me.
Oh, I thought you said Lois said that to you.
No, you said that. It's like, Neku. You don't call each other Neku.
Neku,
can you sing?
Yeah.
So, what are some of the best collaborations? I know.
All of them are best, bro.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about this. I think it's my first. I call this album a big album for me because
it is a big album.
I collaborate with a lot of people. Kaya is in the album.
Yeah.
I have Yvonne May, who's a Nigerian artist who lives in SA. She actually wrote a song for me.
I know Yvonne
to
May.
Do it. Yeah, she wrote a song for me in the album.
And you say you don't
know. Did it together. And I have Bolocha from Swaziland.
Bolocha from Zero to Hero.
Zero to Hero.
Yes.
In the album. Yes.
Wow.
Okay.
I have Simpiwe Khumalo. I have Ayo Solanke, a saxophone player.
Yeah.
You know,
Ayo
is on my album as well.
Okay.
I'm just saying. I just had to hoy that in.
Yeah.
And of course, I have my beautiful Ndogo Zombamba on the album.
I mean, why have the cake without the cream? Hello.
Yeah. Definitely.
Of course, we need to have. Okay, but and we have to wrap it up.
Before we wrap up and we have to close it with a song?
No, wait, no. Yeah. Yes, no, we're going to close it with a song.
Hear me out. Yeah. We're going to close it. You're going to give us a little jam just to close it off.
But before you do,
we need to end the show. And I think the hour is really getting smaller.
Yeah,
and then I'm going to say my goodbyes. Thank you, Mel, so much for coming. And Nubeko, thank you so much for honoring us.
Thank you so much.
You know, the show is nothing without the guests.
Absolutely.
And we really appreciate you.
Okay. Ramster. Nubeko, now we're closing the show. I'm going to say my goodbyes in the song. I need you to play us a 12 bar blues in the key of F. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay, not that fast.
Are you singing?
Mm-hmm. I'm singing. I'm doing the outro, guys. We're going to do like a Cliff Central promo.
Jingle. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we are at Cliff Central. We are hanging with Maranza and Mel and Nubeko. How can we forget Palisa?
She's the boss lady.
If you forget Palisa, she will mute your mic. Yeah. Gather Cliff comes before us. Well, we don't care, cause we just get our audience. We love, 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 love our beloved moments. Hey, we gotta move echo on keys. We gotta have a party. Join us next week, same time, 9 a.m. On Cliff Central. Be lighted with Rami and Romeo.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Woo. Join us next week. Later.
I actually like that, Ramster. Nice, creative, on the point. Cheers. We out. CliffCentral.com.